Hello and welcome to the London Insurance Life podcast. My name is Annabelle Baker and I am one of London Insurance Life's 2021 bursary winners. I am passionate about making a career in insurance more accessible to everyone, no matter your background or the route you choose to take to get into the industry. And this podcast is about just that. Each podcast, I'll have a chat with a different guest about their experience of the London market and any advice they might have for how to get a role in the industry. I'm excited to say that I'm joined by Sam Chambers, who's a casualty underwriter for Chubb. So Sam, you've got nearly 9 years experience in the insurance industry. Perhaps you could start off by telling us some of your highlights over the last 9 years.
Yeah, absolutely. So for me, the real highlights came when I started getting into my underwriting career in the motorsport sector, which was great for me because I absolutely hate the term, but I'm going to have to use it. I'm a massive petrol head. If it burns petrol or oil, and obviously, you know, electric racing series coming into their own more recently, then I will watch it. So for me, some of the best highlights have been getting out to client events. I managed to go out to Assen in Holland for the MotoGP. Got some really good sort of viewing vantages from there. That was great. Managed to do the British Grand Prix for the Formula One. And also a few of the more domestic series, the British Superbikes, some of the racing there. So that's been absolutely fantastic. But outside of the nice hospitality bits, been meeting the clients, to be honest, because having a passion and interest in the industry is so good to look in, but then to finally get on the inside and be able to meet and speak to those clients direct has just been absolutely incredible.
Excellent. And from an underwriting point of view, what would you say the benefit is of meeting clients face to face and experiencing their business on a day-to-day basis?
To me, it's a huge benefit. So personally, I think insurance is a massively relationship-driven sector. If you can get out and see the client, you can really understand their business a hell of a lot better. You get a better view and feel of the premises, not just pictures on a Word document where they have made the risk look as good as they can, or the broker has made the risk look as good as they can. If you can go and meet them and see their operations and see how they work, you can ask any questions you want to. Actually, it might make things seem a lot less scary than they do initially on paper, especially with things in motorsport.
Brilliant. So if we go right back to the beginning of your career, your first role wasn't actually in the insurance industry. So maybe you could tell us a little bit more about this role and how this progressed into working in insurance.
Yeah, so my first role in London outside of college, I was a college A-level leaver to join London, was actually like an unpaid work experience that I came up to do, which was at a stockbroker's. I got offered that opportunity just through a mutual connection, so I absolutely took them up on it to come and experience it and see what it was all about. And actually, it was a field that at the time, being a young lad, was hard to not imagine yourself having a career in. Obviously, you see all the glory of it, but then seeing it on the inside and seeing how hard that is, and speaking to some of the stockbrokers and finding out that for every one successful one there is, there's at least 9 others behind them that have fallen and failed and probably lost a shed load of money. Yeah, finding out from them that actually you need to make an awful lot of money, which they do, obviously, as quickly as you can, and then retire early, purely because the work environment is so stressful, kind of resulted in me not taking a job offer when it was presented to me. So whilst I was up here, I decided to pursue other avenues, speak to people, find out what other careers there were in the city. I knew of people working in insurance, so I kind of spoke to them to get their views on things, and then managed to speak to some recruiters, line up some interviews, and yeah, managed to get my first insurance role, which was at an MGA.
Maybe you could speak to us a little bit about that insurance role.
Yeah, so as I say, I was 18, my first insurance role. It was an operations and sort of technical support role. So it was a small company, but there was a lot of underwriting teams, smaller teams, and there was a pool of 11 of us assistants, and we serviced the underwriters on a day-to-day basis, helping them with their policy issuance, answering any queries that we could, that were sort of within our scope and capacity to the brokers, just to try and take a bit of workload off them, and just general day-to-day assistance for make the underwriting lives easier.
So as you mentioned earlier, you chose not to go to university and instead throw yourself straight into the world of work. Would you mind talking to us a bit about this decision and whether you think it's impacted your career, whether positively or negatively, or maybe not at all?
Yeah, I always thought I was going to be a university graduate. At the time, whilst I was at college, I had a part-time job, which funnily enough was in insurance, loosely based, selling holiday travel insurance. And I had some friends there who were at uni at the time. And I was speaking to them about it because it was at the time when the university fees changed from £3,000 to £9,000 a year. So what was going to cost me £9,000 in course fees for 3 years was now going to cost me that for one. So it was a bit of a larger decision to make for the cost. So I was speaking to my friends and they said, if you don't need to, not 100%, perhaps go to work and try it for a year, see if you can get into a career actually you enjoy, that you still see good prospects in, And if you do, then great, and you don't have to spend all the money. And if you don't, then it's always there as an option. It's kind of easier to go back to uni than it is to leave uni.
Have you got any advice for people that might be in a similar position to yourself?
I would give the same advice, to be honest, because to carry on from your earlier question, I don't think it's hindered me at all. I thought it may do, but certainly so far it hasn't at all. So I would say that if you don't 100% need to go to university, I don't think there's anything wrong with taking a year out, even if you're sure you want to go, just to make sure that that is definitely the right choice for yourself. It's only a year. We all know how quickly time goes. And certainly you get a lot of mature students at university. So a year certainly won't make a difference and you might change your mind.
Absolutely. And in terms of starting the world of work, would you recommend going down more the entry-level position route or going for an apprenticeship? Or again, you don't think it makes too much difference?
I don't think it makes too much difference, to be honest. I think there's definitely pros and cons of both. So the way I did it was great for me, and sort of servicing lots of individual lines of business was ideal because it gave me a really good grounding and introduction to the big wide world of insurance outside of house, pets and cars. But certainly the apprenticeship and sort of schemes out there are also really good because you get to see a wider range of roles within the company, whereas I just did the operations role. I didn't get a chance to sit in the claims team, sit in the HR department, sit with accounting, that kind of thing. So certainly apprenticeships would be a good way to go if you have an idea of a industry or a sector, but not necessarily sort of you're not dialed in on the role that you want to progress and chase down in the end.
Absolutely. And I think the main thing to note is there's always loads of options available. So it's just worth having a little Google and researching and then thinking about what seems best for you. So as I mentioned earlier, you've got substantial experience in underwriting, but I thought we could spend some time talking about the different roles that you've had within this umbrella term of underwriting. So you've worked for three different companies and you've worked in various lines of business. Perhaps you could talk us through each role that you've had for each company and the differences that you've noticed.
Yeah, so as I mentioned earlier, the first role was for a small company. They were quite young at the time, as an MGA, which is a managing general agent. There, as I mentioned, the role was just to support the underwriters, make their lives easier. And then I moved on to Allianz because I kind of wanted to specialise in more one or two lines of business rather than servicing eight or nine lines of business. So there I joined them as, again, in like an operational support role, but more as an underwriting assistant rather than operations technician. So there I did the marine line of business, which was great. And my boss there was actually the manager for the aviation as well. She took that on because there was some sort of staff changes and actually got the opportunity to cross train and do aviation as well. So that was really great. And it was there that I discovered this new team that was starting up within Allianz, which was what is now the entertainment team. A couple of years of them being there, joined the motorsport underwriter, Tim, who I met and eventually worked for. Then, whilst still at Allianz, as I mentioned, started working on the underwriting team. My first underwriting role was with Tim in the motorsport department, which was absolutely fantastic. And from there, I've moved on to Chubb because motorsport falls within the property and casualty market, but is very niche and very specific. So I'm just branching out a little bit now to learn sort of the wider market, the wider coverages around the casualty sector.
So you spoke about how you've worked for a lot of different lines of business. Do you think that that's something that's really accessible in the insurance industry? Are there kind of the same skills used for each line of business? Would you recommend doing that? Perhaps you could talk us through that a little bit.
Absolutely, yeah. If you get the opportunity, I think it's well worth doing. There's a lot of emerging risks out there at the moment. There's lots of new exciting lines of business, and I think if you can get a taste for each of them as well as the more traditional and, you know, the specialty lines of business, then you're just going to give yourself a better overview of what you think you might enjoy. I don't think it's overly difficult to transition from one line of business to another, certainly not at an operations or a assistant underwriter, underwriting assistant level. The skills involved are all really transferable. The principles and the basis of the way you work is the same. It's just going to be learning the individual nuances of each company and how they work. So if you can move around and try new lines of business, if you're not sold on the one you're currently in, yeah, I certainly wouldn't say it's a bad thing.
So we've spoken about lines of business, but for those that are listening that aren't sure what lines of business are, please could you give us a brief definition and then maybe give us some examples of kind of what sits under aviation, what sits under casualty?
Yeah, so by line of business, I just mean sort of the team and the department that you're sort of categorised as working in. As you mentioned already, there is aviation, which within aviation, as far as I'm aware and from my experience, you usually then get three sublines. So that's broken down into general aviation, which is often referred to as GA, which is things like your flying clubs, private jets, gliding, that kind of thing. You get your products, which is manufacturers of equipment and components which are used in building, maintaining and obviously designing aircraft. Also down to the parts that help service the aircraft. It could be refueling hoses, nozzles, things like that. Also the stair systems that help people to get on and off of the aeroplanes, as well as the tunnels that branch off. And then you also get airlines, which hopefully is quite self-explanatory, but just to be certain, it's ensuring the likes of British Airways, United Airlines, people like that. So that's great. On the other side of that, and going from sort of air to sea, we've got marine. There you have marine liability and marine hull. Liability is covering the ports and terminals whilst you're waiting to board your ferry or your cruise, or if you're a cargo operator, it's where the cranes are. It's for your slips, trips, falls, and your hull is actually covering the ship itself. So it might be, you know, covering a huge fleet of cruise ships, for example, or, you know, obviously more famous, the hull side of thing would have been used in covering the Titanic. And when she sank and went down, that would be where that payment was made. You then have casualty, which is your general liability. It encompasses a huge amount of risk, to be honest. As far as we're concerned, and I'm concerned at Chubb, we kind of get given our regions that we can operate in, and kind of nothing is off the table, really, as long as it doesn't fall specifically into another line of business. There's too many to probably to keep listing, but in terms of newer lines of business, certainly cyber is a very hot topic at the moment. With all the advances in technology at the moment, there is a huge amount of demand for cyber. So you think about your Facebook, when they say that people's details have been leaked or accounts have been compromised, you can get insurance policies in place to cover large corporates for that sort of event.
I think there can sometimes be some confusion around the difference between being an underwriting assistant, an assistant underwriter, and then an underwriter. So it'd be great if you could talk us through the nuances of each role and how they all come together.
Yeah, absolutely. So as you've said, you have underwriting assistant, assistant underwriter, and underwriter. That is generally the path that your career would follow if it's an underwriting career that it is that you're pursuing. So as an underwriting assistant, you're integrated within the underwriting team. It's your chance to start to learn and build some basic knowledge about the team and the line of business that you're working within. It's your chance to sort of listen early doors to the sorts of conversations that underwriters are having with brokers and vice versa. And whilst you're supporting them, that role is really a supportive role. All the other stuff I've just mentioned is kind of ancillary. It's background noise going on around you. So within that role, you will be helping to produce documentation, perhaps doing some filing, keeping an eye on the numbers and making reports, you know, sort of a low level for the underwriters. An assistant underwriter is kind of the next step on from that. You've already got a good grounding of your knowledge of that line business that you're working in from your previous time sat with the team. And you're now kind of given a much greater amount of trust from where you was as an underwriting assistant, but not quite the same level as you would as an underwriter. But you're now focused on learning towards the underwriting specifics and developing your career into being an underwriter. You can start to establish your own broker relationships. You've probably already got a little bit from knowing them, from seeing them come in and see your underwriters. But this is your chance to sort of make those relationships growing ready for when you get your own insurance career going. You get maybe a small amount of authority with the right sort of referral sign-off. So it is a chance to start looking at business yourself as well and start doing some business and contributing towards the company's turnover. And as an underwriter, you're kind of not at the final point of your career, because over and above underwriter, there is progression within that itself. But certainly it's where you have hoped that you would end up. You're given an amount of authority that you can write business to. You have your own relationships. You're very much managing your own portfolio. Within that, you're thinking about keeping the company's best interests, and you're trying to, you know, return a profit for the company based on the decisions that you're making.
Excellent. Thank you so much for that explanation. That'd be really helpful for a lot of our listeners. Being a motorsport underwriter sounds like a really interesting role and an opportunity to combine a hobby or interest with work, of which there are a lot of opportunities to do so in the insurance industry due to the huge range of classes, as we've previously discussed. It'd be great to hear about some standout claims that you've heard about during your time in this role.
So as a motorsport underwriter, the claims, fortunately, are fairly infrequent. However, when they do, because of the nature of what it is, they're often quite large and some of them can be quite sensitive. So, for example, certain claims I've heard of would be when you're insuring the liability of an event. If you've got exposure and you've got, you know, to the public and the spectators, there has been incidents where vehicles have left the track, perhaps ended up in the crowd and severely injured or unfortunately killed people. Other than that, it's not always quite that extreme, but you do get damage to people as an employee, they don't necessarily die or become hugely injured, but things do go wrong. You can get incidents in the pit lane, for example, at Formula One. You might have seen, if you watch it, the jackman at the front, the car comes in a bit too fast and knocks him over. As amusing as it might look as a spectator, it's not ideal from an insurer's point of view. But other than that, it's generally the larger, more catastrophe-led ones, yeah, where you unfortunately get a loss of life or serious injury with motorsport. Not all lines are like that, but motorsport, with the nature that it is that way, unfortunately.
As you mentioned, a couple of months ago, you moved from Allianz to Chubb. So firstly, I'd like to congratulate you on your new job. But it can be quite daunting to take those steps of applying for a new job and then starting in a new firm. Have you got any advice for people in this position?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, the first thing I would say is whether you're looking for a new job or not looking for a new job, sometimes you may have people approach you and ask if you're interested in a new role. The first bit of advice I would say is to never turn down a reasonable conversation. If, for example, you're an underwriter, you like working in the insurance industry, and suddenly you get a job offer, an offer of a conversation to go and chat with someone in the catering industry, that's not something I would deem as a reasonable conversation, unless obviously you're looking for that sort of career change. But certainly within your own industry and sector, I don't think it ever hurts to go and, you know, speak with other people and find out what else is out there, really, even if more so just as a sense check for yourself and where you're at your career in the moment. If you are thinking about moving, I think just do it and start, not as in just do the move, but just start the process. I think the most daunting bit can be to approach that recruiter or to send your first application to a role. But I think once you have, kind of the snowball effect takes over. Hopefully you'll get an email response or a phone call. They want to have a chat or an interview. And from that point on, the momentum just carries you through. And before you know it, you've hopefully got a job offer on the table, or at least, you know, another avenue or a route that they've been able to point you in. So I think, yeah, just get started. That's the hardest bit to do, is to start.
Fantastic. Thank you. We're nearly at the end of the podcast, but I just want to finish up with two questions. Firstly, it'd be great to hear why you love working in the industry so much.
The first thing for me is going to be the people in the industry. It's a very social industry. For me as an underwriter, or for yourself in a broking capacity, you're out there, you're always meeting new people, you're always getting to integrate and socialise with other people. And for me, that's a big part of my job and a big part of the day that I enjoy. If you enjoy it, the day goes faster and it doesn't necessarily always feel like you're at work. Secondly, the opportunities within the insurance sector. You can always move around, as we've mentioned, you can change lines of business. And actually, the insurance sector is huge. It isn't just broking or underwriting. If you start off with one of those and find you don't like it, you can move into another avenue. Obviously, all insurance companies have accounting departments. They all have HR departments. They all have IT departments. So although it's insurance, you don't necessarily have to be involved in insurance. You can move around. So there's always a lot of variety.
Two brilliant points there. Thanks so much, Sam. So secondly, what are your main bits of advice for those looking to get started?
Firstly, just how, you know, I couldn't recommend the insurance industry enough. At 18, it's not something I'd thought of, or even before that, ever thought of working in. And now that I have, I say I wouldn't recommend it enough. In terms of getting started, I would say keep an eye on job boards. I know the Lille pages post adverts for graduate roles, for apprenticeship roles, for entry level roles. So that's always a really good place. And also, starting off, if you are a college leaver or a uni leaver, I don't think it matters too much. Don't be afraid of those entry level roles, because in the insurance industry, generally, unless you sort of go onto a grad scheme, we all more or less start in the same place, regardless of kind of what background you've got. You all need to learn the basics. You don't all naturally leave school knowing about insurance. You have to learn it. So don't be afraid of those entry level roles. They're actually fantastic roles and a really good place to start your career.
Definitely. I couldn't agree more. Thank you, Sam. It's been really great having you on. If you want to get in touch with Sam for further advice, he'll leave his contact details in the description box below. Thank you so much for listening, and we look forward to catching you next time on the London Insurance Life podcast.